May only his word be spoken, only his word heard. Amen. Press on from Philippians chapter 3. Is there ever anything you will never turn your back on? One thing that has your rock-solid commitment. Is there anything like that? Now, some of you, I hope a lot of you who are married will say, I will never waver in my commitment to my spouse. You want to proclaim that right now? All right, okay. A lot of hands did not go up. To an important cause, another might challenge you. Are you all in? Will you be devoted for the cause, for the long haul? What will you never turn your back on? What will you never waver? What has your allegiance for all time? Wouldn't it be sad if we gave our all to something that wasn't worthy of giving our all to? Wouldn't that be sad? I gave my life for this career. Long hours, my heart and soul, I sacrificed that which was dear to me. Now I see it was a great, horrible, tragic mistake. But there's a flip side to this. There are some who give their heart to nothing. They don't give their allegiance to anything. Detached, dispassionate, cool. They're proud of their open-mindedness, their neutrality. They're not taken in by anything or anyone, and they inwardly smirk at those silly people who did give their all to something. So which way do you lean? As you can see, the way I've posited it, both sides are wrong, really. To give yourself over to the wrong thing, give your life to it, your allegiance to it, or to be cynical and not give your life to anything, well, both of those are misguided. Sad, really. You know, some of us may have never settled in our own mind that believing in Christ and serving Him is the single most important thing in life. Maybe they have not seen, maybe you haven't seen, the joy, the satisfaction, the love of knowing Jesus Christ is preeminent in your life. You know, the Apostle Paul, who wrote the letter to the Philippians, gives us a great deal of biographical information about himself, and actually it's very, very helpful to really understand what he's saying. He was definitely the first kind of person. He gave his life. He had a single, solitary goal in life. He would have said it was to God, but really, more accurately, it was to the law of God. He was zealous, he was ardent, he was driven by the law of God. Paul was the epitome of religiosity. If anyone else thinks he has reasons for confidence in the flesh, he writes, I have more. Then he goes on to list his superlative religious qualifications. Circumcised on the eighth day as part of the people of Israel, the most religious people on earth, God's own people. And of the Israelites, Paul was the most religious of the religious. He was a Hebrew of Hebrews in regard to the law, a Pharisee. As for zeal, persecuting the church, whom he thought was destroying the Jewish religion. As for legalistic righteousness, faultless. He committed himself to the one thing, the law of God. And then he met Jesus. And then he met Jesus. And he had a crisis. He had a meltdown. He had a personal catastrophe. He saw everything that he had been given and whom he gave his life to in comparison to Jesus was rubbish, garbage. If you actually do the word study on that word garbage and rubbish, you know what it really is? Everything compared to Jesus is dung, animal excrement. Paul was religious. But here's the tragedy of his life, at least to this point. He didn't know God. Religious, but didn't know God. Boy, that has a ring to it, doesn't it? There are people in every generation, religious, but they don't know God. He believed in his own religiosity, in his own goodness, in himself. And when he met Jesus, it was all blown away. It was like his eyes popped open, and he could see himself for who he really was. Sinner. And he could see God through Jesus as he really was. And it broke him. Here's where Paul's life now intersects with ours. We can be committed to the wrong things, or we can be so cynical that we're not committed to anything. But Paul comes to see what he hopes that every one of us will see. The greatest thing that ever happened in this world, bar none, is Jesus' life, his death, and his resurrection. The greatest thing that ever happened, the love of God poured out on us, a righteousness given to us, a purpose, a cause, a person worthy of giving your whole life to and holding nothing back. You see, Jesus Christ took hold of Paul. He took hold of him. I need to ask you, do you sense that Jesus Christ has taken hold of your life? I mean, does he have a grip on you? Do you realize the surpassing greatness of Jesus Christ? Have you come to see that everything really pales in comparison? Everything. Or do other things still have a hold on you? I guess what I'm asking is, what do you think about? What grabs your attention? What do you ponder over? Is Jesus easily dismissed from your mind? When you leave church today, do you kind of put him on the shelf until next time you're in church, which hopefully is next week, which is Palm Sunday? Well, if you have faith in Jesus, even if it is this small, let me urge you to press on, to take hold of that which Jesus has taken hold of you. In other words, continue to dig and explore the sheer greatness of Jesus and what he has done for you. He's granted you faith. Now take hold of him. He's given you that possibility. You know, there's many obstacles in growing in faith, many, many obstacles. But I'm going to talk about one that is that I consider a major obstacle and why our faith can actually shrivel up. And the hindrance, a major hindrance, is your past. Your past. Lyle Schaller was a great church consultant that I had the pleasure of meeting two times. And he was a Methodist. He said some very wise things. And in talking about churches and why they don't grow, why they're not reaching out, he said this, and he's referring to a church, but we can easily translated to our own lives. He says this, what is the single most powerful influence in the decision-making process? I'm curious, how would you might answer that? What's the single biggest influence in making a decision? You don't all have to speak at once. Faith, yeah, okay. Deadlines, very good. Where did that come from? Thank you, Lord. Yeah, your wife. Now, there's a smart man. Well, the biggest influences on church, he was trying to show that churches are haunted by their past. We tried that one and it didn't work. Or here's the proverbial one, right? But we've never done it that way before, right? And this hinders churches. It hinders churches from growing and reaching out, right? It always had. So what is one of the major influences in our decision-making? Our past. Our past. Paul had a past. He was hunting down and killing Christians. You have a past. You've done some embarrassing things in your life. You've done some sinful things in your life. You've done some silly things in your life. You know, people running for office and all that, what comes out? You know, we've heard about Joe Biden kissing and muffing up the hair and whatever. That's not a word, is it, muffing? Well, he did it. He muffed their hair, right? And a little bit come back to bite him. Paul, inspired by the Spirit, tells us to forget what needs to be forgotten. He says it right there in the Scripture. Forget what needs to be forgotten. I looked up the Greek, and Pastor Bolkin, you'll check me if I get this wrong, but I looked up the Greek, and that's in the present tense. And therefore, it means keep on forgetting completely. Keep on forgetting the mistakes of the past, the sins of the past. Satan will drag up your past to hinder your faith, to keep your eyes off of Jesus. If you're running forward and you're looking back, what's going to happen? You're going to stumble and fall, right? Satan wants you to continue to look back at your sins. Look back at your mistakes. Look back at all the embarrassing things you've done. Because he wants to trip you up. He wants to trip you up. But Jesus took care of your sins. Our lives are not about reforming ourselves. It's about receiving grace and believing it. Believing that you're forgiven. Believing that you've been granted the greatest treasure on earth, knowing God, knowing Jesus Christ. Press on. Never see yourself outside of Jesus. Never see yourself outside of Jesus. Knowing Jesus is the greatest possession on earth. You could lose everything you have, tangible and intangible. But if you have Jesus Christ, if you've taken hold of him because he's already taken hold of you, all right? If you hold on to Jesus, you are wealthy. You are blessed beyond measure. Because when Jesus took hold of you, he took hold of you for a reason. When he saved you, he redeemed you, he had a plan for your life. This thing distinguishes us Christians from other non-believers. Do you have a reason and purpose for living? You most certainly do. I know it's cliche now, but God has a plan for your life. He really does. You know, people come to me and say, Pastor, what do you think my purpose is? What's my plan? I can't say. Are you a parent? Yeah, I'm a parent. Well, you know, that's part of it. Are you married? Yes, I'm married. I mean, what kind of work do you do? You know, and, oh, you're... you're a janitor at ORNL. Well, that place needs a lot of cleaning up. Maybe God sent you there, you know. You have a plan, a purpose. Part of the purpose is to touch other people's lives. God has blessed you so that you'll be a blessing to other people. He only blesses you for that reason. When you see Christ as he really is, he pushes you out. He pushes you out. You can't remain a private little Christian. You're meant to touch other people's lives. Gone is the apathy. Gone is the neutrality. You have found the one thing that you can and should be completely committed to. And that is Jesus. Jesus Christ, your Lord, your Savior. The late, great preacher, Baptist preacher, Adrian Rogers. He was the preacher for a long time at Bellevue Baptist in Memphis. He's still on the air. You can still catch him on a radio station. We preachers, not me, but others, live on and on and on, you know. But he was really good. And he once spoke about seeing an ad for a drive-in passion play. Now, you know what a passion play is. It depicts the last days of Jesus' life. Really good ones, in my opinion, have the resurrection in them. But generally, they focus on Jesus' suffering, his death on the cross. And this passion play was really at a drive-in theater, drive-in movie theater. And the ad said this: come and experience the life of Christ all from the comfort of your own car. Adrian Rogers then wrote this. He said, I pondered that and I was overwhelmed with the truth that we will not experience the life of Christ or the life that Christ desires for us or to be the church that God desires us to be within our areas of comfort. We must get out of the car. We must get out of the car. My friends, I hope you have seen the surpassing greatness of Jesus Christ. Then let's get out of the car. Let's press on to the call that Jesus Christ has on our lives. In Jesus' name and to his glory, amen.